We'll begin again, but in the issue of partition.
Yeah.
Okay. So continue.
So, the partition of Palestine, what is not realized by the West and by the world, who in its majority was very generous to the Jews, but on the detriment of the Arabs. I mean, when you vote to partition my country, sorry, how can I accept that my country is dear to me?
Well, there weren't, if I recall correctly, there weren't any Arab countries on the committee. Is that correct?
No.
Why?
Because there were no Jews also on the committee, so that the committee could be impartial. Now, if I don't tell you later, ask me about the vote on partition, because there is also a problem. Now, the problem of partition led to the driving out of Palestine 1 million Arabs, who are now 4 million living in camps in Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and Israel. And if you want a breakdown of the number of refugees in each Arab country, I have it. I can bring it from one of my files and give it to you. But in connection with the problem of partition, I want to recommend these two books to you, which are written by Israelis. Simcha Fatman, who was from the Labour Party. I met him in the UN, and we had spoken long time together. And the best book written on the problem of refugees is also by a Jew from Israel, Benny Morris, The Birth of the Palestinian Refugee Problem.
So the Benny Morris, and the other author is Simcha Fatman.
They are the two birth Israelis. Of Israel. Okay. If you want an American point of view, this book by George Ball, whom I happen to know, he was Under Secretary of State.
Okay, George Ball, and it's the title is The Passionate Attachment. So and we can, and later you can give me a full bibliography that we can put with the interview. Okay.
And then, very little is known about how Israel was able to occupy all these Arab lands. Here we come to the problem of terrorism. I will not speak anything from myself, but I have brought two books to answer that. One is written by Menachem Begin himself, The Revolt, in which there is a chapter entitled, We Fight, Therefore We Are. Descartes said, Cogito ergo sum. We think, therefore we are. Here we fight, therefore we are. Here it is, the fourth chapter. We fight, therefore we are. Just read that and see what is the philosophy and ideology of Zionism. This is also about. There is a body of literature on terrorism in Israel itself, written by Israeli, and I have made a collection, a unique collection of them. First Strike is about how the plan was put down and implemented by bombarding and destroying the nuclear, the so-called, what would have been that produces atom bomb in Iraq.
Uh-huh. The bombing of Osir.
The bombing.
Yeah, right, right. Okay. Well, you know, I think it'd be better... Okay, on partition.
On partition. One of the causes is that there existed in Palestine a party called the Ihud, I-H-U-D.
Mm-hmm.
Ihud means wahid in Arabic, one, mm-hmm. in English or in French. Namely, the party that would unite Arabs and Jews together.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
This party was created by a great Jew called Magnus, Judah Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
He was the president of the University of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an anti-Zionist. And he was calling for a state that, a unitary state or a federal state made of the Arabs and Jews together.
Together, okay. Mm-hmm.
And the Arabs were all for that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I myself, I would now call for a federal state of Jews and Arabs together.
Together. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The personality of Judah Magnus is very important in this whole story because very few people know about that.
Okay.
Maybe the first time you hear about it.
That's right.
And I have books by Judah Magnus and about Judah Magnus. If when you are interested the bibliography, at the end of our talk, I will also give you books on...
Okay, mm-hmm. Good, good. Now, then...
One last point is about the bibliography and the source. There is also a great movement of anti-Zionism in the United States itself. The leader was a fantastic man, as to knowledge, ethics, and he was a friend of mine, a great friend of mine. During the times of crisis, he would come like a bigger brother and see how things are going with me and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Elmer Berger.
Okay.
I would give special mention to Rabbi Elmer Berger.
Okay, good. So at the time then, Syria objected to the partition plan.
No.
Then when the mandate ran out and the British left, war broke out.
Mm-hmm.
So what was Syria's role in the war at that time then?
You know, in these books which I already gave you, you will find the answer. First, about the reality of the war in 1948. How it happened and why it happened. Because so far, the real history has not been known. But these Israeli writers who wrote about the birth of Israel will give you the answer, and I accept the answer.
But from your experiences at the time,
mm-hmm.
what was Syria's role in the 48 war?
Syria was like any other state whose objectives at that time was not to destroy Israel, but to save Palestine or to save Arab Palestine. Because David Ben-Gurion and Weizmann and all these big Zionists made it no secret that they want all of Palestine and even Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And they say Jordan has been taken from the Israeli state as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So the aim was really to stop the expansionism which exists up till this very moment,
mm-hmm.
of Zionists in Palestine.
Okay. So the Syrians with the Egyptians, and who were the other Arab countries that were involved?
Iraq.
Okay.
Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan. Now Jordan has played a very important role because the chief of staff and the top leader and general of all the Arab armies was King Abdullah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did the Israeli, how they were able to occupy all these parts of Palestine, which did not belong to them? When we come to the bibliography, I want to give you, but I mention now because the answer is now. I have already given you the report of Menachem Begin. You will find in these books explanation of how they conquered Jerusalem, how they conquered Jaffa.
Well, could you tell me what in was Syria's view of the Palestinians, whether they should stay in Palestine or whether they should leave during the war? What was Syria's view
it
on that?
It is a very long and history would prove it, and these books written by the Israelis will also prove that this whole idea that the Arab leaders called on the radio the Arabs of Palestine and told them, get out, we will bring you back when our army is completely false.
Oh, that's false. Mm-hmm. So what was the view?
What you tell you, you want? So to finish the first, this book of Menachem Begin himself details the tragedies that happened in Deir Yassin in Jaffa, namely how these various places were occupied. But
so, from Syria's point of view, there was no communications to the Palestinians to leave for now, and that then Syria would help them in the...
You cannot...
No, okay. So, from that point of view, it was that they should stay and stay in their villages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, there are, look here, I have written in Arabic, Tardul Arab, namely the expansion of the Arab. How they themselves tell you about it. Menachem Begin, who is...
Okay. So we're talking about your involvement with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
When were you ambassador to the UN?
I was ambassador to the UN in 1965 to 1972.
Okay.
But
okay.
Prior to that,
uh-huh.
I was a member of the United Arab Republic, which was the union of Syria and Egypt under Gamal Abdel Nasser.
Ah, I see.
I also was in the United Nations and rewrote...
Oh, okay.
In one night, without sleeping a moment, the speech of Abdel Nasser, which was delivered at the General Assembly.
Which did, what did the speech say? I'm sorry, I missed that part. The speech?
I wrote.
Yeah.
Or rewrote the speech of President Nasser to the General Assembly when the all the heads of state came
in
1960. In
1960?
Yeah.
Oh,
I put the whole night, did not sleep, and then next morning, Gamal Abdel Nasser himself and Mohammed Hussein Haykal I don't know whether you heard the name.
Yes.
Great writer. Mm-hmm. Came to me and thanked me and so on and so forth. And I had an American secretary, an old girl who knew Arabic, and to whom I was dictating. I dictated the speech, and she would come every now and then and read it to me and so on and so forth. So all these are part of my biography.
Okay, good. So you were in the UN as ambassador from Syria to the United Nations during the 67 war.
During the 67 war, yes.
Okay, good. Well, explain to me, Jordan was a member of the Security Council in 65 and 66.
Yes.
Then there were new elections for the Security Council for 1967. So, then in 67...
No, forgive me. Mm-hmm. Not for 1967. I was leading the Syrian delegation, but I was not a member of the Security Council. I became a member and the president of the Security Council in 69-70.
Right, exactly. And that was the point I was wanting to make, is that during that period of 67-68, or at least during the year of 1967, there was no Arab country on the Security
That's
Council.
That's correct.
Okay.
And this is a point to be investigated. If you are interested, I will tell you exactly, because I would suggest to the Syrian government to investigate that particular point, because the Syrian delegation or the Syrian government or Syrian foreign ministry was responsible for that absence.
Well, in what way? How did it happen? How did that actually
you
happen?
You are interested in Unfortunately, pettiness is not the property of any one people. Any people could have pettiness, and petty members and petty people who destroy things. You see, I was appointed, this is very personal. You want to put it here?
Yes, because I'd like to know what was going on in terms of selecting the Security Council at that time.
Okay. When I was appointed to the United Nations in 65 and lived with my wife in 65. In 66, during the General Assembly of 66, Syria presented itself as a candidate for two important posts in two councils, for the Economic and Social Councils and for the Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
And I received the orders to start, the work, lay ground the work for the election. Mm-hmm. I immediately answered the foreign ministry, this is very, very personal, that this is absolutely wrong, I don't approve of it, and if you want to insist, I will submit my resignation now. Because these seats are very important in the life of the United Nations. When a state wants to present its candidacy for one council, it starts preparing for that 3 or 4 years ago to get the approval of its group, the approval of a larger group. You know, there is the Third World Group, the Western powers, America, the Soviet Union, and so on and so forth. And no great power ever, not even the greatest, except those who are nominated to the permanent members of the Security Council, who would even think of presenting its candidacy in 1 year for two important seats. Because ultimately, we lost the two seats, as I warn the government.
Okay, okay.
The Undersecretary of Foreign Affairs, who is a petty individual in my country, mm-hmm. wanted to show the government a failure by me, personally.
Okay.
So he insisted on putting our candidacy for the two seats, the Security Council. I told the government, I wrote a letter, I have a copy of the letter, I can show it to you. And I will write it, mind you, that even India, for instance, who is about 1 billion people, or less than 650 million, I think.
It's India. Close, yeah.
Who is the greatest member of them, would not think of presenting its candidacy to two, to two seats in 1 year.
Right.
This is stupid. Syria is a small country.
Yeah.
If we get one seat, let us say the Economic and Social Council, that's enough. So I was opposed by Japan, India, and Iraq.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And in vain did I tell and write and spoke on the telephone from New York that this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. We will lose two seats and especially the Arab seat in the Security Council.
Right.
And when elections took place, this is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Japan succeeded by taking the seat on the Security Council,
mm-hmm.
and Iraq succeeded in taking the Economic and Social Council.
Oh, okay,
and so no Arab state.
Mm-hmm.
Later, mm-hmm. to prove the pettiness of this colleague I'm thinking about, I wrote a special letter to the Minister for Foreign Affairs and to the President, to Hafiz Assad,
mm-hmm.
about the grave mistake that was done and to make an inquiry into the problem. Nominate some high official in whose integrity you believe and let him make a report about this failure and its causes.
Right.
And that, till now, did not take place.
So what the result of that is that during the 1967 war,
mm-hmm.
there was no representative from the Arab countries on the Security Council. Right.
Yeah.
So during...
What I told you, nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Mohammed Farah knows because we are very close. We used to work always together.
Yeah. So when the Security Council convened
mm-hmm.
to discuss the 67 mm-hmm. war, where was Syria? Where were you?
I was in the UN mm-hmm. leading the Syrian delegation.
Okay, okay.
And this petty man that I told you about, they sent him to me to be with the delegation in 1967. And I said, all right, come.
Yeah, okay.
Welcome. Lakin,
so no,
this mm-hmm. this point is very important for this story.
Yeah.
Because the non-existence of an Arab member in the Security Council, when Resolution 242 was discussed, mm-hmm. was very, very detrimental to Syria.
Okay. Now, Syria and Jordan were invited to sit in on the Security Council discussions. So you went to the Security Council chambers, is that correct?
Let me say this. In accordance with the charter, any state that is involved in any great
yes. mm-hmm.
Development like war or so on, has the right to ask the Security Council to accept its representative, namely the representative of that state,
mm-hmm.
to address the Council.
Okay.
So, Egypt was not a member, Jordan was not a member, I was not a member, yani Syria was not a member, uh-huh. but we were all invited to attend all the sessions of the Security Council
okay.
and give our point of view. And
okay.
this is what happened.
Okay, so maybe you were able to speak.
Right, mm-hmm. Yes, this is a right given by the Charter mm-hmm. to any party to a great dispute which threatens world peace and security.
Okay.
You'll find it in the Charter.
Right. So you as representing Syria were in the Security Council mm. chamber when they met.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I understand that the president of the Security Council asked that the council move to a consultation room at the side of the chamber to meet in a closed session during mm. that time. Is that mm. correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. So then, at that point, Syria was not involved in the discussion.
No.
How long did they meet in closed session?
I wouldn't say very long time. Mm. Maybe the duration of a session of two, not more than that.
Yeah, so because a few hours?
A few hours, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at that point, then you were not able to hear what they were saying?
No, but whether I mean, the importance really of the absence or the non-presence of a member is when decisive resolutions like 242 are being discussed. Mm-hmm. Muhammad, for instance, was very much inside those discussions.
Uh-huh.
Because Egypt accepted 242, Iraq, Jordan accepted, Syria did not accept. Now this is another mm-hmm. problem or another aspect which should be investigated because Syria only later accepted. There were the old Arab group mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. was divided into two. Those who accepted 242 mm-hmm. and those who did not accept 242.
Okay.
Syria was among those who did not accept. They have the mm-hmm. point of view. Mm-hmm. And what I said on this issue, namely the non-acceptance of 242, I can show it to you in the records of the Security Council which I have.
Okay. So what were the objections by your government to 242 at that time?
It's difficult to because I used to ask for instructions from my government.
Yes.
I received a telegram saying a translation from Arabic. There is an Arab idiom which says, send a wise man and don't instruct him.
And don't instruct him, okay.
So they tell me to instruct them, in other words.
Oh, they tell you to instruct them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay. All right,
please
so...
That will appear because this is very pretentious to say that.
Oh, all right. All right, so, well, what were the aspects of 242 at the time that were basically unacceptable?
Okay. May I take this? I have to answer you by the text.
Okay.
I will read the some of the paragraphs of 242 and show you where the...
Where you objected. Okay. Okay.
There were seven Arab states that did not accept the resolution.
Okay.
These are
okay.
Syria, mm-hmm. Kuwait, Yemen, Algiers, mm-hmm. Libya, mm-hmm. and Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So now there were different aspects of the resolution 242.
Expressing its continuing concern with the grave situation in the Middle East.
Right, okay.
the grave situation in the Middle East is misleading. Because what is the core of the problem is the Palestine problem. So if it was specified, its continuing concern with the grave Palestine problem, it would be more accurate historically.
Okay.
Emphasizing the inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by war and the need to work for a just and lasting peace in which every state in the area can live in security. Affirms, these are the operative paragraphs, that the fulfillment of charter principles requires the establishment of a just and lasting peace on the following principles. The application of both withdrawal of Israel armed forces from territories occupied in the recent conflict, termination of all claims of states of belligerence, and respect for an acknowledgement of sovereignty, territorial integrity, and political independence of every state in the area, and their right to live in peace within security. For achieving a just settlement of the refugee problem, for guaranteeing the territorial inviolability and political independence of the state in the area. But at the same time, while emphasizing that all member states are in the acceptance of the charter of the UN have undertaken a commitment to act in accordance with Article 2 of the charter, affirms that the fulfillment of charter principle requires the establishment of a just and lasting peace in the Middle East, which should include the application of both the following principles. Here we come to the first problem. Withdrawal of Israel armed forces from territories, not from the territories occupied. Up till now we are discussing withdrawal from all territories or withdrawal from territories which is undefinable.
Okay. So that language was unacceptable.
It was unacceptable because, if we like, I'll bring the charter. The charter has made the withdrawal of occupied territories by force an absolute demand, not a relative demand. Withdrawal of Israel armed forces from territories made it relatives. And in fact, Israel has said, I'm not going to withdraw from the Golan Heights.
Oh, okay. So that you felt that the resolution wasn't specific enough by naming the territories themselves.
Then, to prove my point also, usually, resolutions like these, when it comes to interpretation, people go back to what every member of the council stated in explaining his understanding.
Right.
The American delegate Goldberg, who himself was a great Zionist, and in one of the sessions of the Security Council, I told him, I'm very sorry, I regret to tell you, Ambassador Goldberg, that when I listen to you, I am bewildered whether you are speaking for the great United States of America or for Israel. And he answered me and insulted me and later apologized and so on and so forth. Mm. But that was a fact at the same time, up to the present time.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Withdrawal is enunciated in absolute terms in the Charter, not in relative terms, namely putting conditions to withdrawal.
Okay, all right.
The French representative on the Security Council explained his vote by saying that to me withdrawal of Israel armed forces from territories occupied implies that from all occupied, because the, when translated into French, states de territoire occupé, which means all territoire, all territory.
Okay, so the French version would have been acceptable.
Acceptable, yes. Because?
But not the English version.
But not the English version. The Soviet representative, the Chinese, they all said, our understanding is that withdrawal should be from all occupied territories, not from occupied territories, from all the occupied territories.
Okay, all right.
And up to the present that you and I are speaking and discussing, this is the main problem in the text of. So that's reason number two.
Okay.
Then the Spanish and Latin Americans agreed with the French and said also in Spanish, withdrawal means de les territories, de tout le territoire, not from territories, but from all territories.
Yeah, okay.
So, and if you are interested, I have a collection of the debates of 1967 in one volume, which was given to me by the library of the UN.
Okay, okay.
And you will find there my interpretation or my version as we why we did not accept.
Okay, so that's there, okay.
Okay. Now another view. We are now in the year 98. Between 98 and the 22 of November 1967, how many years do we have?
What is it? 31 years. Yeah. So about 31 years.
About it.
Yeah, 30
years. Meanwhile, the Israeli Knesset Parliament issued a law not allowing any government in Israel to return the Golan Heights to Syria. So on what are we going to negotiate?
Okay, okay. So it's the issue is still there.
Yeah.
After all these years.
After
so they didn't withdraw.
Yeah.
They didn't withdraw.
And there is a law not to allow them to withdraw. So suppose they send me to negotiate with the Israeli. On what should I negotiate in the existence of this law? And off the record.
Okay. All right.
Resolution 191, which was voted after the assassination of Count Fort Bernadotte, and in honor to Count Bernadotte, adopted some of his recommendations. Bernadotte recommended to the General Assembly that all Arabs, we can read the text if you like later, who are willing to go back to Israel or Palestine and live in peace with their neighbors, should be given the right of return, or if they don't return, to be compensated for their lost territories. Mm-hmm. 191, November 1948, till now, how many years? 48 to 98.
50 years.
50. What happened to this?
Right.
And well, I can bring you instances of this. You will read yourself all these resolutions and draw conclusions. About Jerusalem, that the attitude of asking Israel not to change anything on the status of Jerusalem, or demolish building, or change, because it's all of it is a historical city. Mm-hmm. And UNESCO imposed sanctions on Israel because of what it did in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we're going to need to... Okay, well, we've been talking about the events around 1967. And at the time, before the war, General Fauzi, the Egyptian general, had come to Damascus.
That's right.
Discuss, I believe, some information that he had received from the Soviet Union, that there were Israeli troops building up along the border with Syria.
Mm.
So, were you aware of the discussions at that time?
Yes. I was aware of the fact that coordination was taking place between the Syrian government and the Egyptian government.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Regarding how to react or to act with Israel.
Yes, right.
So, in fact, there was more than that.
Okay.
My recollection is that President Nasser was very, very careful not to be pushed or to indulge any action against Israel, which is the result of hard-headedness or nervous reaction.
Right, okay.
And actually, what that was not only the wish of, but there was actually an established mechanism between the two armies or the two governments in order to avoid any hastened action. There was no doubt that in Syria there was lots of talking wildly, some members of the government. And I believe that was made for local consumption.
Okay. By talking, kinds of things they were saying?
Yes.
Okay. Talking, making comments against Israel?
Yes, Israel, yes.
Okay. Do you know who it was that General Fauzi met with? Did he meet with the military in...
You know, in his capacity as chief of staff for the two countries, or the coordinator between the two. Mm. Undoubtedly, he was meeting on the highest level.
I see.
Let's say the Minister of Defense, mm-hmm. who at that time was Hafez al-Assad, uh-huh. the Chief of Staff, the Minister of Defense, and so on and so on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was coordination going on between the two countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is not really well known, and which led to the catastrophe, is that although I am from Syria, there was the ruling party in Syria was made of men who did not have a great experience in matters of war and peace and